Settling Into His Bones by Walking Through Autumn, read by X-Men Hater. Summary. A year after the dust has settled, Long Longji and Wei Wuxian take a journey together, far from the world of politics, the weight of the Lan sect, the burdensome title of the Yiling Patriarch come back to life. Or, Long Longji and Wei Wuxian try out the life of rogue cultivators, and they learn what it means to build a home together. Lan Xichen's letter arrived 2 weeks before the discussion conference. Wei Wuxian was in the bath when the knock came on the door. It was a rare occurrence where Wei Wuxian had been too tired to even think of inviting Long Longji to share the tub, leaving him free to answer the door without the accompaniment of embarrassed yelps, frustrated groans, or hasty dressing. At the doorway, one of the inn servants bowed to him and held out the missive. Lan Wangji took it, recognized the seal of the cloud recesses on the back. He dismissed the servant with a nod of thanks. Back in the room, from behind the screen, Wei Wuxian's drowsy voice asked, "Who's that?"
"Brother."
Lan Wangji paused when Wei Wuxian made an alarmed sound.
"A letter from brother," he amended.
"Lan Chan!" Wei Wuxian laughed, cheerful if still with a tinge of alarm. "You cannot just scare me like that." Lan Wangji hid a smile, wondering what Wei Wuxian would think if he saw how Lan Wangji delighted in turning the teasing back on him. Wei Wuxian sloshed around, the sound of water sluicing off him, distinct when he stood up from the tub. Lan Wangji let the background noise wash over him, comforting in its familiarity, as he broke the seal with a tiny amount of spiritual energy. Lan Xichen's letters were not rare, but neither were they regular enough for them to be expected. 3 months out of seclusion, Lan Xichen sounded cheerful, if a bit harried by the amount of work there was in handling the day-to-day matters of a sect. He asked after them, assured them that all was well in Cloud Recesses. If Lan Jingyi's latest quarrel with Jin Ling in the courtyard could be considered a sign of peace, and mentioned, as though by casual happenstance, that the upcoming discussion conference would be held in Gusu. Lan Wangji paused. He read it over to be certain he hadn't mistaken brother's writing. He looked towards the ceiling and thought. By the time he reached the end of the letter, Wei Wuxian had wrapped himself in one of Long Wangji's sleeping robes and had dropped to the ground next to him, curling against his arm. In a motion he didn't have to consciously consider, Long Wangji lifted his arm, so Wei Wuxian could press against his side instead.
"What did he say? Is he okay?"
he murmured, warm and soft and sleepy. Lan Wangji had done enough resisting for his life, so he didn't pause in turning to kiss the top of Wei Wuxian's head. Against the damp hair, he said,
"He is well. Busy."
Lan Wangji thought, rubbing Wei Wuxian's side as he did so. Wei Wuxian melted into the touch, eyelashes fluttering against his cheeks. Lan Wangji loathed breaking these hard-earned moments of peace, but there was no real point in delaying the news.
"There is going to be a discussion conference at Gusu," he said.
Wei Wuxian said. Then, alert, he sat up, eyes wide.
"What?"
Lan Wangji held the letter out for Wei Wuxian's own perusal. Wei Wuxian was able to read him perfectly by now, and he had always been clever, if unattuned to political scrimmages. Reading through Lan Xichen's words should not be a problem for him. Wei Wuxian bit his lip and put down the letter. He resumed his draped position.
"Well,"
he said. Lan Wangji nodded.
"Huh,"
Wei Wuxian said, sounding no less perplexed. Lan Wangji hummed in agreement.
"I mean, this would be the first since..."
He waved a hand, which could mean Jin Guangyao's death, or the events at Guanyin Temple, or the concept of the time since then, time that had been so filled with contentment that Lan Wangji sometimes wondered if it was a dream, then had to kiss Wei Wuxian to assure himself it wasn't. Lan Wangji drew a hand up his back, rubbing between his shoulders. It was enough for Wei Wuxian to know he understood every nebulous thing Wei Wuxian had been trying to say.
I suppose your brother would like you to attend, then."
"Us," Lan Wangji corrected. Showing Wei Wuxian how much respect he deserved was a duty Lan Wangji was most happy to undertake over and over again. He gazed back at Wei Wuxian's incredulous expression.
"Brother knew you would read this letter, too."
Wei Wuxian scoffed.
"I know he likes me well enough, but the last person he'd want at a discussion conference is me."
The worst part, Lan Wangji thought, was how little bitterness there was in that statement, like it was simply a matter of fact. The mountains were eternal, the rivers flowed to the sea. Wei Wuxian would always be equal parts reviled and feared.
"I think he would very much like to see you attend," Lan Wangji said, soft, firm, unwavering.
Wei Wuxian made an unconvinced sound and brought his arms around Lan Wangji's waist.
"I believe that you believe him. Oh, actually, I believe that you believe that he believes so," he said, gleeful at his own cleverness.
Lan Wangji let out a huff, drawing him into his lap. Cuddly and sleepier than before, now that the surprise had dissipated into the quiet of the room and the warmth between them, Wei Wuxian mumbled.
"What are they even going to discuss this time? How great it is that Qin Guangyao is gone? Land partitions? Taxes?"
The cultivation world was as capricious as it was eternal, caught up in a thousand aloof, inconsequential worries. Just 3 hours before they had slain the deformed creature that had wreaked havoc on a village 10 li away, and Wei Wuxian had smiled so softly as a grandmother gripped his hand in thanks. Whatever concerns the cultivation world had, Lan Wangji knew, would be laughable compared to the cheer of a village in the light of the setting sun. The apples pushed into their arms, Wei Wuxian's laughter as he danced with the little girl.
Lan Wangji said, "We do not have to attend."
For a while, Wei Wuxian did not respond. He breathed steadily, almost in the rhythm of sleep. His grip on Lan Wangji said he wanted to be held, wanted to stay in the hazy in-between of the waking and dreaming worlds for a little more.
"No, let's go," he said,
words taking the form of a long sigh against Lan Wangji's collarbone.
"Your brother wouldn't mention it if it wasn't important. As long as you don't have to fight against a horde this time."
Lan Wangji stood up, Wei Wuxian cradled in his arms. He murmured a protest, so weak it was more a garbled sound than anything else. But under the blanket, positioned where he liked it best, over Lan Wangji's chest so he could hear the heartbeats, Wei Wuxian quickly gave up all pretense of a fight.
"I will protect Wei Ying always," Lan Wangji said.
Wei Wuxian grunted, a pleased, embarrassed sound. Then he slipped into sleep, breathing deep and easy even before Lan Wangji extinguished the candles. Half a year ago, when Lan Xichen was doing better, when he said it would not be long until he emerged from seclusion for good, and Lan Wangji could let this knot of anxiety go, they packed their bags for a long journey, spoiled the rabbits by lying in the sun with them all day, teased Lan Sishui over dinner, and filled the Xingxi with laughter, and bade a formal goodbye to Lan Tijin and Lan Xichen the morning after. Lan Xichen had seemed forlorn, if accepting. Lan Tijin had tugged on his beard in a harsher motion than usual.
"Do you not know when you will return, Wangji, young Master Wei?" Lan Xichen asked.
Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian exchanged a glance. Wei Wuxian's raised brow said he would defer to Lan Wangji in what he wished to answer his family with.
"We will send letters," Lan Wangji said, and Lan
Xichen accepted the answer for what it was. He knew Uncle thought it was another of Wei Wuxian's whims, a desire to drag Lan Wangji away from the responsibilities he had towards his sect. It was not a fair judgment on Uncle's part, but Wei Wuxian had tried, on more than one occasion, to convince him that Lan Wangji favoring Wei Wuxian had to be balanced by the universe in some way. Utter nonsense as far as Lan Wangji was concerned, so he only pretended to be convinced when Wei Wuxian sealed the argument with a kiss, giggling against his lips. The fact of the matter was, this long journey was Lan Wangji's decision as much as it was Wei Wuxian's. A travel itch wasn't the right way to put it. A journey to find oneself wasn't quite it either. A time to think, perhaps, without the crushing weight of 13 years' worth of grief, or the poison that spilled from careless lips, an act cultivators and the common people were equally capable of. A time to negotiate, maybe, between wants and needs and everything that fell in between. A settling into his bones. He did not know how to express it, but Wei Wuxian understood anyway. He unfurled a map, crossed out all the cities where they would be recognized, and began tracing the path to their first destination. In a village where nobody recognized them, the lady of the inn smiled at Wei Wuxian and asked, "A room for you and yours, good young master?" Wei Wuxian winked at Lan Wangji and said,
"One room, please."
In the mountain at the outskirts of the village, they hunted the poor, deformed tiger that had eaten human flesh in vengeance, gone mad from losing her cubs to poachers. Lan Wangji killed her as painlessly as he could, and they sent her cleansed spirit to rest. Wei Wuxian proved his gain in muscle strength by digging a grave for her, pouting when Lan Wangji decided to help lest the sun set before he was done. In a mountain cleared of her resentment, the woods came alive again. Wei Wuxian laughed when wild hares hopped towards Lan Wangji, sniffing around his ankles and pawing for attention. "Some things never change," Wei Wuxian said, smiling again, when Lan Wangji gave in and petted them lightly between the ears. In the dying light, as Wei Wuxian leaned against a tree and watched with laughing eyes, he seemed wonderfully, vibrantly alive. There was no good name to what they were. For what they were to each other, there were many terms, each of which made him quietly, unquestionably pleased. Lovers, cultivation partners, soulmates, husbands. But he wondered what the world a step removed from the pride of the cultivation world called them, what they saw them as. If they were seen as down-to-earth rogue cultivators like Luo Tingyang and her beautiful little family, or if, even with their simple dressing and the accumulation of grits from months of travel, there was never any possibility of uprooting the Lan from him, the Yiling patriarch from his husband. What they were, where they were headed, it was a thought Lan Wangji couldn't prevent his mind from drifting towards when his forehead ribbon was wrapped around Wei Wuxian's wrist as they traveled, when they walked into a village, and without the forehead ribbon and blue-white robes that signified him as a member of the Lan sect, they were not recognized as anything other than a pair of travelers. How wonderfully freeing, how strange, to be known not as the light-bearer and the Yiling patriarch, but simply as two men in love, going where they pleased, traveling to lend a helping hand.
Lan Chan, my Lanar Gukka, what are you thinking?
Under the stars, in a clearing miles from civilization, there was no need to hide the long glorious line of Wei Wuxian's naked body for propriety's sake. His skin was golden in the firelight, marked with spots of red Lan Wangji took pleasure in tracing with his fingers. He was warm on top of Lan Wangji, languid and relaxed. Lan Wangji looked him in the eyes, at the hazy contentment he had put there.
"Freedom," he said quietly.
Wei Wuxian blinked, astonished. His laughter was a free and easy thing that followed soon after.
"Hong Guan Jun, Lanar Gonzu, Lan Chan, tell me, have you decided we shall go rogue,
He scratched under Lan Wangji's chin. Lan Wangji allowed his eyes to close for the moment, to enjoy being the sole recipient of Wei Wuxian's fondness.
"Are you sure you'll be able to? Can you live without the 4,000 rules?"
"I already am doing so," he said, looking at Wei Wuxian significantly.
He already had, in Wei Wuxian's previous lifetime, too. Wei Wuxian laughed again, a soft thing this time.
"True. It's way past your bedtime and you're still talking to me. And it's not like you remembered that no noise is permitted,
His smile gained an edge of wickedness as he pressed his hips harder against Lan Wangji. There was interest there, Lan Wangji knew, but no urgency.
Lan Wangji murmured, "Shameless," even though he could tell it was out of habit, with no real heat behind it.
As Wei Wuxian traced his cheek and jaw with careful fingers, he said,
"I was thinking about your dream."
"My dream?"
Wei Wuxian frowned, then his eyes widened in further delight.
"Oh, you mean the incense burner one?"
Lan Wangji did not need the waggle of his eyebrows to remember Wei Wuxian seeing his dream, too.
"Yes," he said, feeling Wei Wuxian trace the shell of his reddening ears. With effort, he pushed the embarrassment aside to say, "I was wondering if that was something you want."
Wei Wuxian looked at him for a long moment, laughter on his face gentling into a contemplative expression. His voice was low, sweet without being honeied, when he said,
"Ah, Lan Chan, that was my teenage fantasy, and fantasies change, you know? I just want to be with you, whatever form that takes." Do you...
He twirled a lock of Lan Wangji's hair around his finger, serious if not solemn.
"What do you want, Lan Chan? Do you want to leave the Lan sect, become rogue cultivators together?"
Did he? There were many days during this journey when he wondered if he did,
when he saw Wei Wuxian spread his arms in a field of tall grass, laughing under a cornflower blue sky, or when they stood at the edge of the sea and hair was buffeted into their faces, the smell of a storm on the horizon. Wei Wuxian had kissed him, their mouths gritty with sand, in a desert where the wind sounded like a strange melody. His eyes had been soft when he awoke with Long Wangji to the sunrise over a wide grassy plain. He thought of the quiet of cloud recesses, the cool mist that hung over the mountains in the early mornings, the time he could simply be still and not think when the world had yet to awaken. Lan Sishui brewed tea the way he liked it best and smiled at him without the darkness of war in his eyes, wonderfully kind and strong and alive. When it snowed and the gentians were not to bloom for months yet, Lan Sichen's smile had quiet heartbreak in it, an understanding only the two of them could share.
"What was it like leaving the Jiang sect?" he asked carefully.
"Oh," Wei Wuxian made a sound, part nostalgia, part surprise. "I don't think anyone has ever asked me that before, and it has been so long." He shifted, tucked his face further against Long Wangji's neck, took a few more minutes to think. In the silence, Long Wangji drew his outer robe over Wei Wuxian and let his arms settle around his waist. Wei Wuxian's voice had a foggy quality to it when he said, "It was all out of necessity, so I don't know if I thought much then. I just knew I couldn't make life any more difficult for Qiang Cheng. But it still, I didn't think it would hurt that much. It was like the time I fell off Suibian into Biling Lake. The free fall was thrilling for a while before the terror set in. Then the shock of hitting the water, then cold. Just cold."
"Wei Ying," he whispered.
There were no words for the way his heart still splintered at the thought of his soulmate abandoned, terrified. "Lan Shan," he murmured back, lips curling into a smile against Long Wangji's skin. "It's different now. I'm not alone, right?" Lan Wangji thought of Wei Wuxian in the burial mounds, with a new family that loved him, but who could not protect him from the scorn and fear of the cultivation world. The emotions of the cultivation world towards him took a different form now. Uncertainty and confusion mostly, but also hostility, wariness, and an uncontrollable flinch when they saw Chen Ting at his belt. How far could Long Wangji protect him if his body was an insufficient shield for slippery, intangible words? He closed his eyes and nodded, pulling Wei Wuxian tighter against him. "You didn't answer my question, you know," Wei Wuxian said gently. "But it's okay if you don't know yet."
"I like this, being with Wei Ying, traveling where we please," he said.
This he would never be unsure of.
"Mm-hmm.
I miss Sishui, our son."
Wei Wuxian let out a long, long sigh.
"Me too.
And I want to give Wei Ying a home, wherever it will be."
Wei Wuxian drew him into a kiss, lips soft and warm, parted so their tongues could meet, luxurious and slow the way their lives had become after two lifetimes of struggle. He whispered, "My Lan Chan, you already have." Without the pressing need to save 100 kidnapped juniors, they walked up the burial mounds at their leisure. The resentful energy was no longer as stifling as it had been in Wei Wuxian's first lifetime. Then, when he had visited, when he had stood in the cave as Wen Tianglin's consciousness was successfully retrieved, it had felt like breathing in dusty, soot-filled air, a rankling against the spiritual energy that thrummed through his veins. The sky had been a perpetual miasma of gray without the promise of rain. Neither Wei Wuxian nor the Wen remnants had seemed to notice or care. They hadn't had the energy to do so.
"It was worse before," Wei Wuxian had simply said when he caught sight of the brief frown that flickered across Long Longji's face
before he turned his attention back to Ayuan. Now, 15 years past, there was more sadness than resentment in the air carried by the wind. The blood pool that no longer held the corpses of the Wen remnants was still and stale. The cave was a little cleaner than before, perhaps owing to Lan Sishui and Wen Tianglin's previous visit, when Lan Sishui had gone on a journey to find his past. Wei Wuxian traced the raised slab of stone that had served as his bed.
"If I told you I once fantasized of you taking me here, fucking the resentful energy out of me, would you indulge me?" Wei Wuxian asked.
Anything Weighing wants, he answered. Wei Wuxian laughed, a short, weak sound. He stepped towards Long Longji and cupped his cheek, pressing their foreheads together.
Ah, Lan Chan, I wouldn't do that to you. It itches, doesn't it? Your golden core is so strong, I bet you're using every bit of discipline just to stand still now.
He curled an arm around Wei Wuxian's waist. Lying was forbidden, so he stayed silent.
I feel the itch too, weak as this body's spiritual energy is.
With his free hand, he brought Long Wangji's palm to press against his Dantian. There was the very faint beginnings of a golden core, the result of Wei Wuxian's hard work.
Even with just this, I feel like fleeing the place at once. How do you stand it?
It is not impossible, with the right incentive. Wei Wuxian pondered over that answer for a while, playing with his fingers, letting Long Wangji's palm rest over the precious sign of a golden core. He smiled, gaze far away.
Even then you already loved me, huh?
Always, Long Wangji said. Wei Wuxian sighed, helpless, disbelieving, unspeakably fond. He brushed his lips over Long Wangji's and chased little kisses. Pressed together, he looked around the cave once more.
There was so much despair here, but I think I had some happiness, too.
I want to cleanse this place, Lan Chan. I don't think this should be a place of sadness anymore. Do you think we could do it?
Yes.
Wei Wuxian smiled.
Not now. Now I don't have enough spiritual energy to do so, and I don't want to leave all the work to you.
Something in Long Wangji's expression must have said he didn't mind, because Wei Wuxian gently swatted his shoulder.
It's my idea, so I take charge. You hear me, Lan Ergongzi? That was a non-committal You're a terrible husband, you.
In response, Long Wangji intertwined their fingers and squeezed his hand. Exiting the cave, through the light gray of the resentful mist, Long Wangji thought he could spy patches of early summer sky. They wandered through what used to be a settlement, stopping whenever Wei Wuxian wanted to for long minutes at a time. Lan Wangji could see the memories, but not all, only those he had been privileged enough to witness when Wei Wuxian allowed him in. Wen Ting, hovering outside the cave, stress lines on her face. Granny, smiling at him without fear. Ah Yuan squealing and running towards them. The tree hollow from which he scooped out Ah Yuan, both of them delirious with pain and fear and despair. Wei Wuxian stood here the longest before he kissed Long Wangji so fiercely they were panting when they pulled apart.
You will not let me thank you for this either, hmm?
Long Wangji hummed in agreement. They turned back as the gray mist seemed to darken, warning of the sun's descent. Along the main path, Wei Wuxian kneeled, brushing fingers through dry soil. He whispered something as he patted it down, so low he was simply mouthing the words.
Weighing, Long Wangji asked.
Wei Wuxian smiled up at him, serene, at peace.
I was saying, perhaps one day radishes could grow here again.
Once, as the summer sky waned to make way for the crispness of autumn, they traveled for a day in the company of Song Zichen. There was visible delight in Wei Wuxian's expression when they bumped into him, all three of them scouting on the outskirts of a well-run but modest village. Wei Wuxian was respectful the way he rarely was with people of status, and though Song Zichen's expression did not change, his eyes softened when Wei Wuxian asked after Xiao Xingshen and Ating. Song Zichen held out the spirit pouches. Recognizing the gesture of trust, Wei Wuxian and Long Wangji handled them with careful hands. Wei Wuxian's eyes lit up, his lips curved in a gentle smile.
Xi Shu is doing better, he said.
He looked at Long Wangji, who nodded. The maiden Ating's soul was still fragile, but what parts there were pulsed with energy, as expected of a maiden with such spunk and courage. Traveling with Song Zichen instead of being trapped in the sad, accursed city must have done them good. They handed the pouches back to Song Zichen, who tucked them near his heart. In the village, the people greeted him fondly, uncaring that he was a fierce corpse. Wei Wuxian bounced in every step he took as he chattered alongside them.
"Looks like you've made a name for yourself here, Song Daozheng," he said.
In that moment, Song Zichen looked so much like Wen Tianlin, in the center of unexpected attention. It wasn't difficult to discern his embarrassment.
Wei Wuxian laughed. There's precious few rogue cultivators around. Of course they'd be grateful to you for protecting them.
If fierce corpses could breathe, Long Wangji suspected Song Zichen would have sighed at Wei Wuxian's overwhelming exuberance. In the restaurant they stopped at, mostly for Wei Wuxian's sake, Wei Wuxian peppered Song Zichen with questions while he shoveled food into his mouth, each time waiting patiently for him to write his response. The questions came one after another. Where he had been, what he had seen, what left an impression on him, if he had met any assholes. Song Zichen's eyes radiated fond expression, and there was endless patience in his answer to each question. In answer to Wei Wuxian's last question, apparently he had had a run-in with some from the Yao sect. Wei Wuxian laughed uproariously when he learnt Song Zichen easily got the upper hand, undoubtedly because he was far more formidable than any demon could possibly be. Grief still weighed at the edges of his eyes and the movement of his hands. It took one to know one. Song Zichen moved with the deliberate purpose of one who, against a crushing emotion, had no choice but to find a purpose for living. Lan Wangji's had been a son, Song Zichen's two fragile souls. The only consolation was how the color of grief had lightened since then, tempered by time and the hope that, one day, the three of them will enter the cycle of reincarnation into a life better than the one fate had dealt them. At the meal's end, Wei Wuxian hesitated. When they had been at Cloud Recesses, Wei Wuxian had thrown himself into research with a fervor that only his love for Long Wangji could rival. He was on to something, they knew. He had told Xue Yang that it was impossible to repair his shattered soul. But if there was a way to shatter souls, a way for fierce corpses to regain consciousness, there must be a way to repair the souls of people who never deserved the cruelties of man, souls so loved by a man he would carry them near his unbeating heart. In the end, unable to deliver maybes and perhaps that he didn't know if he could make good on, Wei Wuxian bowed deeply. Rising, he clasped Song Zichen's arms. "If you ever have need of us, please, please send word," he said. Perhaps because he felt he still owed them, or perhaps simply because he, too, saw Wei Wuxian as the nephew he and Xiao Xingchen had never managed to meet before all of their untimely deaths, a man they saw as family, Song Zichen returned the clasp, eyes warm. They stared after him as he left, a tall, dark figure disappearing beyond the bend. In another lifetime, it would have been a simple goodbye to a man going home to his sect, founded not on bloodline but on common ideals. In this lifetime, they could only wonder and hope and wait. That night, they made love for hours, Wei Wuxian sobbing as he rode Long Wangji, neck exposed for him to capture and mark with teeth and lips. He came twice without Long Wangji pulling out. In the third round, slow and languorous, Long Wangji wringing out every whimper with fingers and lips as he ground into Wei Wuxian. He came with a shattered moan, trembling as Long Wangji released in him. Kitten weak, he kissed Long Wangji over and over, whining whenever he pulled away so that he would have no choice but to kiss Wei Wuxian again, rubbing his sides until he calmed. Wei Wuxian's eyes were bright and wet in the silver moonlight.
"Lanchan, my Lanchan," he whispered, voice hoarse.
The emotions that had run high were now calm, back to a bubbling brook instead of fierce rapids. He cupped Long Wangji's cheek and kissed him again, murmuring into his mouth.
"Oh, Lanchan, I love you. I love you so much, do you know?"
"I do," Long Wangji said. There was the wonder again, that he could now say for certain that his affections were returned. He intertwined their fingers, heedless of sweat.
"Wei Ying, it cannot be anyone but you."
Wei Wuxian smiled, a hiccup making its way up his throat. He laughed at the sound of alarm Long Wangji made.
"It's okay, I'm so happy. I'm so happy we're alive. I never thought I'd be so happy over this."
He knew. He understood. Lan Wangji had been prepared to live the rest of his life loving and missing Wei Wuxian, carrying the ache in his heart and bones. Then he had been contented as long as Wei Wuxian was alive and in this world, free to spread his wings. To have him here, to have them in the same space at the same time, bodies and hearts and souls whole, loving each other, was enough blessing for seven lifetimes. He kissed Wei Wuxian, hoping he could feel the enormity of such wonder in Long Wangji's heart. From the way Wei Wuxian smiled against his lips, he did. A week away from Gusu, in the last leg of their journey, Wei Wuxian wept. This Long Wangji knew through the Sunshot campaign, through the first siege on burial mounds, through their journeys in Wei Wuxian's two lifetimes. Corruption existed where men did, and the cultivation world was no exception. Their current time away from the matters of the cultivation world only served to renew this knowledge. Their generation had seen the rise and fall of tyrants, witnessed the way even immortality did not curb the desire of men like Wen Rohan and Zheng Guangshan. Nie Mingjue had been murdered, body and soul torn asunder by the same man who had loved Lan Xichen, quietly, deeply. Lan Wangji had undertaken 33 strokes of the discipline whip, wondering how the righteousness his sect stood by meant persecuting a man who had protected the weak and the elderly and fretted about growing radishes. The veneer of the sect's motto had crumbled, leaving a stone facade whose rules, after everything, mattered little if it could not yield to the uncertainties of man, to beating aching hearts. Wei Wuxian, when he could bear it, insisted on washing Lan Wangji's back. The times he did it in the Jingxi, his hands had trembled but did not falter, and if he had held Lan Wangji a little tighter through the night, Lan Wangji would be the last to mind it. In a town where no one knew their names, Wei Wuxian's hands trembled and faltered. The washcloth dropped onto the surface of the water, soaked and sinking. His tears mixed with the soapy water to form brands of warmth on Lan Wangji's back. He refused to let him turn and take him into his arms. "Let me have this, Lan Chan," he said through his tears. His breath sounded choked. "I chose this," Lan Wangji wanted to say. "I never regretted loving you." Yet he knew this wasn't about his willingness or the love that had taken residence within his heart since they were thoughtless youths of 15. For all that Wei Wuxian had told Jiang Wanyan that they should leave the past where it belonged on deep starless nights like this, Wei Wuxian was no stranger to regret. Lan Wangji had had 13 years to come to terms with his regrets. Wei Wuxian had had less than 2. They did not allow words of apology or gratitude between them, so Wei Wuxian mouthed words of love against his skin, kissed the tip of the scar near his neck, and lingered until a fresh set of tears touched his lips and Lan Wangji's skin. Lan Wangji gripped the hands on his shoulders, wishing he could turn around. The candle was nearly burnt to its wick when Wei Wuxian whispered, "I don't know if I can look them in the eye when we wed again, Lan Chan." On a night they had spent under the stars in the shade of a mountain, Wei Wuxian had wistfully wondered if they would be allowed to marry each other again, this time in view of family and friends. Lan Wangji would give him the world if he could, and he wasted no time in daydreaming of Wei Wuxian in red. In truth, he had not even considered if the elders would be there, so inconsequential to him their presence was. Wei Wuxian's arms wrapped around him, crossed at his collarbones. They trembled with the remnants of fury and regret. Perhaps, even if Wei Wuxian held no goodwill towards them, they were not as inconsequential as Lan Wangji hoped they would be. The space of a heartbeat, 2. Then Wei Wuxian laughed, voice hoarse, and he muttered, "Ah, Lan Chan, my Lan Chan, that wasn't quite right. You know I can't ever forgive myself."
"Wei Ying did nothing wrong," he insisted.
He felt small and helpless, like when his brother had held him against his chest and wept, as Lan Wangji wondered why the door to the Gentian house remained closed, wondered how he could prove that he was a good boy so mother would see him again. Wei Wuxian laughed. It sounded like a sob. He kissed the tip of another scar, then another, like if he did this enough, if the scars born willingly with love were to be overlaid with his own mark of devotion, he might one day come to forgive himself.
"I did a lot wrong, Lan Chan. You're just too good. You've always been too good," he said. "You hate it when I say I don't deserve you, so let me atone for this."
Lan Wangji waited. He waited until Wei Wuxian couldn't maintain the grip. Waited until he could turn and look at him. There were still tears beating at the corners, falling with each blink. Lan Wangji cupped his face in his hands and said, even if he knew it might not change Wei Wuxian's mind,
"You have suffered enough."
Then, like the knowledge had lain dormant in him, waiting for them to acknowledge it was more than just about Wei Wuxian or Lan Wangji, but, from here on, about Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji, he breathed out,
"We have suffered enough. I will not allow even you to stand in the way of our happiness, Wei Ying.
Wei Wuxian let out a choked sound. He laughed. He sobbed again.
So demanding, Lan Chan. Are you going to be this unreasonable for the rest of our lives, huh?
Forever, if need be, Lan Wangji agreed, before he kissed Wei Wuxian's cheek, licking away the salt tracks, feeling Wei Wuxian's fingers slip to trace a scar and another, and, eventually, to rest on his shoulder blades and hold him close.
The night before they were due to arrive at Gusu, Wei Wuxian steered them to a small town near the border instead of the main road towards Kaiyi Town. This close to cloud recesses, even without his ribbon, Lan Wangji would be recognizable. Wei Wuxian took exceptional glee in finding their best disguise, dressing him in plain, homey green and dark blue, reminiscent of Wei Wuxian's incense burner dream, cloth made of a comfortable, if rougher, material. Only the sword at his hip and the cloth-wrapped guttine on his back would give him away.
"Look, I'll do it too,"
Wei Wuxian had said when Lan Wangji had blinked at the disguise. He hummed as he dressed in the same green and dark blue, rolling his sleeves up as though he had indeed just come home from a day of farming. He then spent an inordinate amount of time on his hair, muttering about it needing to be stylishly messy to complete the look, before giving up and tying it into the customary ponytail. Chen Ting went into a secure pocket, but the white ribbon around his wrist he refused to part with.
"What do you think?" he said, spinning one round.
Lan Wangji huffed.
"Ridiculous," he said.
Then he cupped Wei Wuxian's cheek and kissed him, running his hands through his hair, achieving the look Wei Wuxian wanted in a matter of seconds. There was talk of restless spirits, days old and not malicious. They went and put the spirits to rest, the most exacting task being to find a little doll the sick boy had loved before he would be willing to part from the mortal realm. Doll safely buried with the boy, the spirit danced around them, energetic in a way his illness-ridden life would not have allowed him to be. Wei Wuxian wriggled his fingers, even though the spirit could not possibly see him.
"Go safe, little one," he said fondly.
The spirit did not need it, that as it danced around Lan Wangji, he played an uplifting tune on the guttine, one of the songs a village dance from 3 moons before had taught them. Wei Wuxian laughed, delighted, and he joined in with Chen Ting. No song of inquiry this, or of clarity, or of any function but enjoyment. This time spent traveling with Wei Wuxian had reminded him of the pleasure of a perfectly sugar-coated hawthorn berry, of a cool breeze on a warm day, of duets in tune. The spirit bounced like he was laughing with them. The song ended on a jaunty note, carrying well on the night air, and he spun in a final circle before fading. The air of the little grove cleared. They held hands on the way back to the village. The village head was a kind man with the surname of Pei, whom Lan Wangji recalled from helping uncle with Gusu territory matters. He brought a small basket of fruits as thanks to them. Wei Wuxian giggled when he saw they were loquats.
"There is no need for thanks," Lan Wangji said to the man's bow.
"Oh no, I insist," Master Pei said, squinting at them both with a smile.
His aging eyes didn't seem to recognize Lan Wangji, nor even notice the ribbon around Wei Wuxian's wrist.
"We were wondering whether to send word to the Lan sect when both of you showed up. Thank you very much, young masters." "It was no trouble,"
Wei Wuxian said cheerily. He winked at Lan Wangji when the village head turned to leave. The kind man, still with the complete lack of awareness that a Gusulong cultivator sat right there. Lan Wangji huffed and caught the loquat tossed towards him.
"I could live like this, I think,"
Wei Wuxian continued cheerily.
"Farming with my handsome husband by day, night hunting in remote areas by, well, by night, and getting rewarded with loquats. What more could any humble man want?"
Lan Wangji smiled. It must be barely noticeable to anyone but Wei Wuxian, who nearly dropped his loquat in delighted surprise. He asked,
"Perhaps you only like the last bit."
Hey, I earned my keep,
Wei Wuxian protested. He was smiling too widely for the protest to be of any effect. He wriggled closer to Lan Wangji and beamed up at him.
"It's not fair, you know. You can't just smile at me like that without warning."
"I shall endeavor to deliver due warning in the future," Lan Wangji said.
Wei Wuxian laughed, a pleasing sound as always.
He leaned against Longwangji, giggles thrumming through Wei Wuxian and into Longwangji. The quiet was noticeable afterwards, the chatter of other inn patrons washing over them. He finished his loquat before saying, "Lan Chan, you know what we were saying about where we will call home?"
Longwangji nodded, pressing his nose against Wei Wuxian's hair. Wei Wuxian's voice was so mellow it did not even occur to him to be anxious about why Wei Wuxian was bringing the topic up now.
"Yes," he said.
"It will always, always be with you, but..."
Wei Wuxian looked out the window, smiling at the distant mountain shrouded by clouds, a familiar, calming silhouette. Longwangji looked in the same direction, feeling his heart beat in a rhythm both calm and aching. Like he was homesick, but something warmer, something more settled. He held Wei Wuxian close, watched him tilt his head back against him.
Wei Wuxian murmured, "After all the places we've been, I decided I kinda like it. Going back to the cloud recesses with you. Going back to where our sun is."
Longwangji took a deep breath, inhaling the scent of fruit and grass and sunshine underlaid by sweat. He let it out slowly and smiled.
"Yes, it pleases me too."
In the morning, just after the sun had warmed the air enough that there was no trace of mist, Lan Sishui greeted them at the gates. He beamed widely, unable to resist from launching himself down a few steps to hug Wei Wuxian. Wei Wuxian laughed, tried to swing Lan Sishui around, failed due to the sheer difference in muscle strength, and pouted. Lan Sishui ended up lifting Wei Wuxian off the ground instead.
"When did you get so big?"
Wei Wuxian demanded. Lan Sishui smiled, joy bursting out of every motion.
"Senior Wei is just, in need of training."
He pinched Lan Sishui's cheeks in retaliation, then squished his face between both palms, tilting his head from side to side. Wei Wuxian exclaimed,
"You've gotten disobedient too, mouthing off to your elders. That's it, punishment time."
He pushed their son in Longwangji's direction. A little shyly, rubbing at his cheeks, Lan Sishui looked up at him. At some point in his childhood, he had determined himself too old for hugs, even if Longwangji had been quietly devastated at the thought of their son growing up. He supposed he had not expressed the disappointment obviously enough.
"Well, surely you've got to give me some face, Lan Chan."
Lan Wangji enveloped Lan Sishui in a hug, one hand cupping the back of his head. The boy squeaked, then he burrowed in. He smiled into Long Wangji's neck, arms gripping around him with as strong a grip as Ayuan had used to hug his favorite people around their leg. Wei Wuxian's cheeky smile couldn't hide the fondness in his eyes. After an indeterminate amount of time that Long Wangji felt was too short, Lan Sishui stepped back and cleared his throat.
"Welcome home, Hong Guanjun, Senior Wei. We missed you."
"You sweet talker, you," Wei Wuxian said.
He pinched Lan Sishui's cheek again.
"So, has the place been overrun by guests and rabbits?"
The rabbits, Lan Sishui suspected, had increased in number and would likely be able to bury 10 grown men now. On the human side of things, they had come home 2 days before the discussion conference, and only sect leader Jin and his party were there. Lan Xingyi had wanted to greet them too, but apparently he and Jin Ling were being punished for instigating a food fight the prior night.
"Isn't Jin Ling a guest?"
Wei Wuxian said. He was barely suppressing his mirth.
"I think Granduncle forgot," Lan Sishui supplied.
He bowed at the corner before the corridor to the Jingxi, ruefully explaining he had snuck away from some duties in order to greet them. Longwangji didn't mind. There was plenty of time for tea with their son, to speak of the past months of adventures and revelation and growth. No longer was there need for rush.
"Sishuiar has gotten busier, huh?"
Wei Wuxian mused.
"It is expected of the next sect leader," Longwangji said.
They made a quick stop only to drop off their traveling packs and freshen up before going to greet Lan Sichen. Brother looked delighted at their return, if a little distracted by the massive amount of paperwork on his desk. Or perhaps he was relieved that they provided an excuse for him to ignore the paperwork for now. He stood up and clasped Longwangji in a warm hug, as good as the one he had gotten from Lan Sishui.
"Welcome home, Wangji, young Master Wei."
Wei Wuxian studied Lan Sichen carefully. Whatever he saw must have been enough to convince him that brother was indeed well. His shoulders relaxed,
It's good to be back, Sewujun. I'm glad to see you well.
Lan Xichen's smile softened and he patted Lan Wangji's shoulder, then Wei Wuxian's too.
Please, sit. I had some tea brought over.
He cleared the paperwork from the table and invited them to sit and rest. The tea wasn't quite the same as what Lan Xishui brewed, but it was good tea all the same, a notch above the varied quality of tea they had drunk in their journey through different towns and villages. Wei Wuxian drank deeply from his cup. Then, in between sips, he looked between Lan Wangji and Lan Xichen.
"Should I leave? Is this a conversation you should have privately?"
he asked. Lan Xichen startled out of his near-meditative silence. He smiled apologetically.
"Oh, please stay, young Master Wei. I was simply thinking that it has been a while since I enjoyed a quiet tea time with my brother and brother-in-law."
He looked over them both.
"Did you find what you wanted to on this journey, Wangji?"
Lan Wangji thought. There was a surety in his bones, a comfort in the way Wei Wuxian had softened at the edges, a simultaneously mellow and bright presence. He could not say this would not happen again, that one day they would not exchange glances and read in each other's eyes the need for time away, but for now he could say,
"I think so."
"I am glad to hear that," Lan Xichen said warmly.
"And you, young Master Wei?"
Wei Wuxian rubbed the back of his neck.
"If I'm with Lan Chan, I'll be happy no matter what, you know? But I guess,
He sent a small smile along Wangji's way.
"Yeah, it's all good. I'm glad to be back."
Lan Xichen nodded, looking relieved.
"I was worried if my letter had inadvertently cut short your journey."
Oh no, it didn't. I mean, I guess it was a bit of a surprise, but I think we were getting ready to come back by that point,"
Wei Wuxian reassured.
"And we knew we could resume afterwards if we wanted."
Lan Wangji reached out to rest his hand over Wei Wuxian's, their fingers overlapping. He squeezed his hand and nodded.
"That does ease my heart. I suppose you might have been wondering why I requested your presence at this discussion conference?"
Lan Xichen asked. There was an undercurrent in his voice of not quite excitement, Lan Wangji thought. It was like anticipation. Like brother had fought hard for something and was waiting to present them the results. It was an immeasurable joy to see this after the hollowness in him post Jin Guangyao's death.
"Oh, yeah,"
Wei Wuxian straightened up from his slouch.
"Is there something we can do?"
"Yes. Well, not do, per se. I simply thought you would want to be witness to this conference."
"Okay. Are you going to announce Lan Xishui as the next sect leader?"
"That would be pleasant," Lan Xichen said with an air of consideration. "But, well, I suppose those who need to know already do, and I am happy to give him all the time he wants to continue learning. No, it is this. The sect leaders of the four great sects have agreed to abolish the position of chief cultivator, and I would like both of you to be present for the announcement."
Wei Wuxian's jaw dropped. Lan Wangji was not sure his surprise did not show in his face either. Lan Xichen poured more tea for them.
"That, seriously?"
Wei Wuxian picked up his cup and put it down without taking a sip. It looked like he was thinking very hard and very fast.
I guess we've all started to wonder if it's a good idea to put too much power in the hands of one person. What with a wacko like Wen Rohan and then Jin Guangshan afterwards. Wait, does that mean a council is going to be formed? Or maybe each sect will be left to their own devices. No, it'll be difficult to have checks and balances then, in case somebody goes batshit crazy or neglects the common people, but...
Lan Xichen held up a hand, but it was Lan Wangji tugging at Wei Wuxian's hand that stopped his mutterings. His brother smiled and said,
"All very good points, young Master Wei. We are indeed going to propose a council system. Though whether the sects agree, we shall have to see what happens over the course of this conference."
He gave them some time to absorb this. After mumbling to himself for a while, Wei Wuxian looked at Lan Wangji. The tilt of his eyebrow asked Lan Wangji what he thought about this.
"It is a wise decision," Lan Wangji said.
This he did not need to hesitate on. Briefly, he closed his eyes, wanting just enough time to mourn that this could not have been achieved earlier, before the deaths, before the pain. But it did not work that way. Nothing came from the what-ifs. Without what had been, there could not have been this monumental decision. There would be more Wen Rohans, more Sunshot campaigns, more sieges, more losses that this time might shatter him completely. When he opened his eyes next, the past was where Wei Wuxian said it should be. He looked at his brother and said, "The grief of our generation should not be passed down to the next." Wei Wuxian's eyes softened. He squeezed Long Wangji's fingers.
"Yeah, it could work. We're all going to be stuck in that room for days, maybe weeks."
He shuddered, and it wasn't entirely theatrical. "But if we can replace this system with something better, that'll be for the best. Something new for a time of peace." Lan Xichen nodded. He let out a sigh, eyes briefly shuddering in his own grief. The smile in its wake was no less sincere for how small it was. He said, "Above all, I wish for you to be able to live your lives as you see fit, Wangji, Wuxian." There was silence, then a suspiciously shiny film to Wei Wuxian's eyes. He bowed his head and after a long moment said, "As do you, brother. As do you." In the Jingxi, fresh sheets on their bed and the familiar incense lit, Long Wangji took his time taking Wei Wuxian apart. Wei Wuxian went pliant the moment Long Wangji batted his hands away from the waist sash, wrists pressed onto the bed in an unspoken request for him to keep them there. Under Wei Wuxian's dark-eyed gaze, he loosened the sash just enough for him to be able to reach under the robes to push them off Wei Wuxian's shoulder. "Lan Chan," Wei Wuxian whispered. He shivered when Long Wangji gazed at him, then he fell silent. He kissed and licked each patch of skin revealed with the disrobing, lingering over the spots he knew his lover liked best. On his neck he spent the longest, renewing the mark over his pulse. Wei Wuxian let out a little sound, part sigh, part moan. His eyes fluttered closed, cock hardening further from its half-mast. Then he made a confused sound when Long Wangji bypassed his nipples, letting his fingers circle around them in feather-light brushes, lips and teeth opting for the curve of his ribs and the firm, flat plane of his stomach. Over where the beginning of his golden core lay, Long Wangji rubbed his nose, nipped and licked. Wei Wuxian gasped, then whined when he blew over the damp patches of skin. But it was only when Long Wangji ignored his cock to bite at the crease of hip and thigh that Wei Wuxian realized what was happening, what Long Wangji intended. He stiffened and his cock hardened impossibly further. Lan Wangji continued sucking a mark against his thigh, delighting in the startled shriek and the way Wei Wuxian began shifting, cloth of his pants bunching around his thighs. He pressed his hands against the soft skin of his inner thighs, brushing and teasing strokes that never landed anywhere near his cock or balls. "Be good, my Wei Ying," he murmured into his hip.
"Lan Chan, Lan Chan,"
Wei Wuxian cried out.
"You can't, oh, heavens above, this is torture."
Lan Wangji smiled, moving to kiss down the length of each leg, rolling the pants down as he did so. By the time he eased the cloth off and rewarded him with a kiss to each ankle, Wei Wuxian was incoherent with desire, cock dripping against his stomach, gorgeous in the play of candlelight and moonlight.
"Lan Chan, Lan Chan, oh, please," he whimpered.
Unheeding the request to keep his hands on the bed, he clutched at Lan Wangji's head where he was sucking a deeper mark into his thigh.
"Lan Chan, if you don't do something soon, I..."
He released the darkened patch of skin and looked up along the lines of Wei Wuxian's torso, meeting his wild, desperate gaze. He sat up. In one swift move, he turned Wei Wuxian over.
"Oh."
The touch of his cock against the sheets had him letting out a long, low moan. Lan Wangji brought Wei Wuxian's arms up above the pillow, making quick work of tying his wrists with the forehead ribbon. Wei Wuxian's breaths, already fast, quickened further. "Good boy," he murmured, relishing in Wei Wuxian's stuttered exhale. He allowed exactly one more rut against the sheets, just for Wei Wuxian to more keenly feel the loss of touch before holding his hips firm. Lan Wangji resumed his path, upwards this time, almost dizzy with the sheer expanse of skin when he indulged like this. The smooth curve of Wei Wuxian's calves to the crease of his knees, where he licked away the salt of clean sweat. The back of his thighs, pale and firm, making a futile attempt to part so Wei Wuxian could gain more leverage to rut against the sheets. The swell of his ass he gave only the swiftest, gentlest of kisses to before licking a long stripe up his back to his nape. He bit, just to feel Wei Wuxian hold still in shock, then begin to thrash and wail in earnest.
Lan Chan, Hung Wan Jun, Lan Erguga, please, you've got to touch me, let me come, fuck me, please, please, please.
His earlobes and the shell of his ears, over which he blew lightly to feel Wei Wuxian's full body shudder. The taut skin of his upper arms, where he could make a mark with Wei Wuxian's attention and approval this time. A sign of devotion and promise carried over from their time in the cave so long ago. The delicate curve of his wrists, straining against the ribbon, and the dip between thumb and forefinger where he could bite to hear him gasp. With each kiss to the tip of a finger, he could feel the tension in Wei Wuxian's frame winding up tighter and tighter, coiled so tense it was a wonder he hadn't snapped.
Lan Chan, Lan Chan, have mercy, oh husband, please.
His breath was let out in a whoosh when Lan Wangji, without warning, inserted two oiled fingers into his hole.
Lan Chan!
Opening him up was as easy as breathing, as the smile that came to Wei Wuxian's eyes and the laughter to his lips, as falling asleep next to him every night was. Wei Wuxian sobbed and moaned against the intrusion that deliberately avoided his prostate even as he relaxed, so used to their lovemaking every day that his body knew what to do. In a desperate move, he squeezed down on every motion, trying to tempt Lan Wangji. He was so high-strung none of the noises he made were coherent any longer. Lan Wangji took a deep breath, then another, squeezing at the base of his cock as he slicked himself up. They hadn't made love in the Jingxi for half a year. The air, stale if clean in the afternoon when they had arrived, was now filled with the scent of sex, of the sandalwood incense Wei Wuxian loved, of the hair oil Wei Wuxian had used in the bath. He felt giddy, overwhelmed with love and desire.
Wei Ying, he murmured. He thrust all the way in. Wei Wuxian came with a scream, convulsing around him.
Lan Wangji held still through the waves of his orgasm, kissing Wei Wuxian's nape and biting where his pulse could be felt. For long seconds, Wei Wuxian came, his sobs eventually tapering off into a long moan, his whole body twitching against Lan Wangji. The sheets beneath him were absolutely ruined. Lan Wangji wondered how much further they could ruin it. He moved slowly, aiming for Wei Wuxian's prostate with every smooth stroke in. Still in the afterglow, Wei Wuxian wailed, scrabbling for purchase with his bound hands, and that wouldn't do. Pulling out, Lan Wangji flipped him over, bringing Wei Wuxian's legs around his waist in the same smooth motion. His lover's face was streaked with tears, his eyes dazed, beautiful, beautiful lips parted in shocked pleasure. Lan Wangji kissed him, slid back in to thrust harder against his prostate.
Lan Chan, you...
Wei Wuxian tossed his head back, panting in an effort to bring more oxygen to his lungs.
How long have you been thinking of this?
Lan Wangji hummed.
Since we received the letter...
Wei Wuxian laughed weakly, transitioning to a helpless moan when Lan Wangji, unerringly, hit his prostate in a series of sharp, shallow thrusts. He licked a nipple and hummed around it, pleased when Wei Wuxian's moans hit a fevered pitch.
Lan Erguga, you're unbelievable. We come here for business and you were thinking of how to defile me in your room?
Our room,
Lan Wangji reminded him. He slid one hand beneath Wei Wuxian's ass and lifted him higher, closer. The next thrust brought him so deep Wei Wuxian wailed again, cock twitching.
Our room, okay, our room. Will you have mercy on me, Lan Chan, my Lan Chan?
Lan Wangji hummed in thought. He shifted on his knees, balancing Wei Wuxian against him so his legs remained parted. His balls pressed against the skin of Wei Wuxian's ass. Picking up the pace, Lan Wangji brought his hand down from Wei Wuxian's nipple to fondle his balls and slide a finger against the vein, the barest of touches on the cockhead. Wei Wuxian threw his head back and, screaming his name, he came again. This time, with a growl, almost faint with desire and love, Lan Wangji could thrust only a few more times before he came inside the wet, twitching heat. There was no sound but panting for a while. Wei Wuxian was so dazed by two powerful orgasms he couldn't even move when Lan Wangji released his wrists from the ribbon. His torso was splattered generously with the evidence of his pleasure, lips red and kissed bruised. Not for the first time, Lung Wangji drank in the sight, wondering what Wei Wuxian would think if he ever drew this for the joy of remembering his husband drunk with pleasure in their bed, in the home that was once Lung Wangji's and that was now theirs. He grabbed the washcloth he had prepared and wiped gently, cleaning Wei Wuxian up. He moaned and twitched when Lung Wangji cleaned between his legs, but otherwise lay pliant, contented. The bed was large enough that he could roll them to the dry, clean side, tucking Wei Wuxian in his favored position against Lung Wangji's chest. Fucked dazed, Wei Wuxian blinked slowly, like he was reassessing everything he knew of Lung Wangji, trying to piece together the pieces of his world. Lan Wangji let him take all the time he needed.
You, Lan Chan.
Hmm?
He kissed Wei Wuxian's forehead, stroking his fringe away from his face. Wei Wuxian closed his eyes for a moment.
How do you always make me fall in love with you even more?
Impossible. Nobody can be more in love than me with you.
Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian groaned, swatting a boneless hand against him.
Fair warning, remember?
It slipped my mind.
Wei Wuxian smiled, tired and pleased. He curled closer to Lung Wangji, heart still slowing down from its rapid, fast rhythm. He muttered,
So, you've been thinking of bringing me home and fucking me like that for ages, huh? But what's with the sudden intensity? It's not like we haven't done it here before.
Lan Wangji sat up a little, anxiety cutting through the contented drowsiness.
Did I hurt you, Wenying? Did you not like it?
What? No, I loved every single moment of it, Lan Chan.
Wei Wuxian laughed and coaxed him down into his previous position.
I did. You know I'd use our safe word if I didn't. I was just wondering, that's all.
Lan Wangji looked out the window, at the calm courtyard bathed in moonlight, and thought. Wei Wuxian never pressed him, had learned how to read the words beneath his brevity, yet this held a weight he wanted to convey, the wondrous weight of anxieties finally dissipating.
You have been hurt, cast aside by the cultivation world, too many times to count,
he started slowly. Wei Wuxian looked at him with surprise, but without any sign that he wanted to interrupt.
When you returned, I made a vow to myself that you would never be hurt by them again.
He paused there. Wei Wuxian pressed a kiss against the curve of his jaw, remaining silent.
I was wondering where you could comfortably call home. I thought, the cloud recesses that house the elders who have once passed judgment on you wouldn't be the best. But even while you were staying at Cloud Recesses before our trip, I did not know if you would call any specific place home.
He let out a long breath, stirring strands of Wei Wuxian's hair.
A house where we farmed and night hunted at our leisure was what I thought might be best.
Oh, Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian whispered, his arm tightened around Lung Wangji. You know I would never take you away from your brother, right? Or from our son. Lan Wangji nodded.
And you like the junior disciples. You enjoy teaching. You love our son and your nephew. You have ties to Lotus Pier. You would miss them terribly.
Wei Wuxian sighed, then nodded.
I would. You know me too well, Lan Chan.
So I was unsure, until today, when Brother talked about the changes that would be made to the cultivation world.
He curled his arm tighter around Wei Wuxian's waist, soaking in his warmth.
That was when I knew we could stay in the world you love and it might not have to hurt anymore. Perhaps not everything will change, but enough will, and you will never have to choose between security and freedom.
There was a silence, then a choked sob. Lung Wangji looked down in alarm, caught between worry and dazed admiration at the sheen in those lovely eyes. He cradled Wei Wuxian's face, catching the tears with his thumbs.
You silly thing. Oh, my silly, silly Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian said, laughing and covering Lung Wangji's hands with his own.
You really thought so much for me, huh? Trying to outdo every husband in the world even when I already know you're the best.
I would do anything for Wei Ying, anything for us.
That made Wei Wuxian laugh and cry more.
I know,
he whispered, leaning forward to press their lips together.
My Lan Chan is the best. I've always known that. Oh, Hong Guanjun, Lanar Gaga, my Lan Chan, I love you so much.
I love you too, Wei Ying. My Wei Ying,
he whispered.
Ah, look at us, a blubbering mess. Well, okay, that's me. Lan Chan is beautiful as always.
Lan Wangji would disagree, considering the beauty of the man in his arms. But from experience, he knew that would just lead to a never-ending argument, and it seemed Wei Wuxian had more to say. Wei Wuxian smiled at him, the sort of smile he liked best. Soft, genuine, full of light and love. He said,
"Okay, yes."
"Yes."
"Yes, I want to stay permanently, make this a home with you." "Ah, make it even more of a home. Scandalize the juniors with my shamelessness. Corrupt all the little kiddos. Make sure the cultivation world never slacks off again. Make it a place where our son and his friends can live and thrive."
He caressed Lan Wangji's face with his fingers and whispered, "Marry you again. Make love to you every day where we call home. Make a life for us."
"Wei Ying,"
Lan Wangji said. Wei Wuxian laughed and nodded, brushing their noses together. Overcome with love and joy and contentment, Lan Wangji kissed him and kissed him and kissed him again. The end.